Okay, so we're talking about the raising of children. We have the high school class in, so they're going to look at it from two perspectives. One is that they are children, and two, that someday they might actually be parents, and then they could find someone in this world who would want to live the rest of their life with them, which we hope. But so in talking about this, I said we'd probably talk about teenagers, but someone, as always, says, "Hey, Zane, what about?" And you're like, "Oh yeah." See, what happens when you teach is, well, I said that one time 2 years ago, so I don't really need to say it again. And how well does that work with raising children? Yeah, I'm sure it would be fun to tell your teenager, "I told you when you were three not to do that." But sometimes we have to be reminded of it. And what's funny is I think, "Oh yeah, I talked about that 2 years ago," or somebody, "I heard a great lesson about that." And then when I read it again, I am reminded of the things that I need to be doing. So in talking about discipline, I mentioned, Dr. Spock from the 70s, and not the Vulcan, but the, I guess, psychologist or whatever he was. And, about this, that, you know, basically you need to stay out of your kids' way and they're going to figure it all out because they're just inherently wise souls, and don't let them be corrupted by the world. The problem with that is that's not reality. We talked about foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, right? Foolishness is different than evil, but they don't lack wisdom. Foolishness is a lacking of wisdom. And so when we think about raising children, when we talk about training children, we have to actively do that. Now, the reason I say that is there's this movement in that just kind of, if it's really bad, you can have to say something. If it's real, you know, but really, we don't want to crush their spirits. Right? Have you ever heard that? You don't want to harm their creativity. Have you heard that? Now, we did read in Ephesians 6 that we do not want to be harsh, that we don't want to lead them to discouragement by setting standards that cannot be met. But does discipline, given in love with a direction, harm the spirit of a child? Never. Do we, as adults, need discipline? Yes. Remember when you thought that, you know, your parents were harsh, and then you try the same goofy things, and reality, it gives you much more painful, expensive lessons, right? I used to like making mistakes in college, because now when I make mistakes in engineering, it costs a lot more money, right? And yeah, I mean, it's true, right? If we make a mistake when we're a child, it's usually small, but now that we're adults, the repercussions of those go much further, right? A temper tantrum of a two-year-old, you know, it's nobody pleasant for no one. A temper tantrum of a 40-year-old, you go to jail, right? So our goal, we talked about our goals in Psalm 15, who will live on the holy hill of God, we're not trying to raise good children. We're trying to raise good adults. That's different. What's cute in a two-year-old is completely unacceptable in a 15-year-old, and it's just sad and gross in a 30-year-old, right? Would everybody agree? So, you know, we had some friends, I guess I was in high school, so, and the little brother was like four, and he would just run up to you and hit you, and everybody would laugh, and it was so funny, ha ha ha. I mean, just rear back and hit you. Whoever was there, and everybody, "Oh, that's so funny." I didn't think so even at that age. I guess my parents have instilled in me in some things, but you can't do that, right? We're trying to raise good adults. And so we have to have a goal in mind. So one of the comments last week after class was, what about those people who tolerate being told no by their children? Have you ever seen the two-year-old? When they look at their parents, they go, "No." Or when the parent tries to do something, they slap their parent's hand. You seen that? Have you seen the 15, 16-year-old, 17-year-old who explains to the parents how the cow ate cabbage? Is that bad? How many times should we tolerate that? Do we count to 10? I love the story, Grandpa don't count. You know? You have to ask him about it because he tells it better than I do. But we don't count. We don't count. Why do we not count? Yeah. 1, 9.5, 9.75, 9.99, 100, 99, 1, you know. If it was wrong, then they need to stop, right? Training Elizabeth's drive, right? One of the things that terrified me is I don't want any delay. When I tell you to stop, you stop, you know? And that's because I'm very calm teaching children to drive. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, good. You train them to do that. So, in thinking of this, let's see where. Randy, would you read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5? And, okay, so, and when he's reading this, listen for disobedient to parents and look at the list of things that is equivalent to in this list. Alright, so, it ends with, avoid such people. Now, do you want God to tell people to avoid people like your children? That is just terrifying. If the godly thing to do is to not be around your children, that's pretty scary. In this list, Randy read, disobedient to parents. Okay? Disobedient to parents. What were some of the other things that are in this list? Everything. Yeah. But, you know, unthankful, unholy, abusive, ungrateful, heartless, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. This is what is equivalent to disobedient to parents. Now, it's not, you know, in my mind, it's not the end of the world if my kids disobey me from the standpoint of, well, you know, I'm that amazing. But we're training our children to handle authority, right? If they don't obey you, if they don't obey their parents, are they going to learn obedience? No. And guess what? People who can't handle authority have very sad lives. Right? Very sad, broken lives. They can't listen to their teachers at school. Poor little Johnny is just, the teachers are against him. Well, that's possible. I've known a lot of teachers. I married one. They don't really pick out, you know what, I'm going to hate a kid in class, and that one's it. Right? They don't do that. You don't go into teaching to get rich. Now, there are bad teachers, obviously, but in general, they don't pick out one kid and go, I'm going to hate them no matter what they do, right? Then they go and they're in the sports team, right? The coach hates me. Well, maybe because you're a little smart. You need to learn to do what you're told when you're told with a good attitude. Well, my boss hates me. I always like that one. Well, guess what? Sometimes bosses are jerks, and you know what? They pay you. So guess what? You're going to get along with them, or you're going to have a sad existence. Right? But then ultimately, the ultimate authority is what? Is who? God. If they don't learn obedience, if they don't learn authority, if they don't learn obedience with a happy heart, in our house, you have to obey right away, all the way, with a happy heart. Yep. Guess which one we have the most trouble teaching? The happy heart, right? And people get on to us. They're like, well, I mean, they did what you said, but they had a bad attitude. Quentin, one of my favorite ones, he's like 4 or 5, and we're at the doctor's office in Houston, and there's a big aquarium there, and as soon as he hits the door, he runs to that aquarium like, Quentin, come back here. And Quentin's, and he walks back to me. And I'm like, no, we obey with a happy heart. And the lady goes, you shouldn't get on to him. That's the first kid I've ever seen come back. And I'm like, yes, but the reason is because we have a higher standard, maybe. Or maybe we're just lucky, or maybe kids, he's just that great of a kid, but that's what we do. Yeah. Yeah, you don't like it. You're embarrassed or you're uncomfortable because discipline is occurring, right? Have you been around the parents who always are threatening their children, but nothing ever happens? How many hours of pseudo-discipline and just horribleness are you dealing with? If it's worth correcting, it's worth making sure. My dad told me this. I didn't understand it until I had kids. Is my dad's thing was, don't ever tell your children to do something you aren't willing to make them do. If you're tired and you're not gonna do it, just keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you're training them to disobey. The teenagers, the looks on their faces are hilarious. Some of them are giggling and some are going, oh my. Yeah, but yes. If you're going to tell your children to do something, make sure that you're going to do it. And don't lie to your children. If you don't do this, I will do this. They do it and you don't do that. That's a lie. You're training your children to be liars. Or to completely disrespect authority. So, thinking of these things, in the Proverbs, there are a lot of good verses about training children. Which ones, as parents or as teenagers, do you want your parents not to see? What verses do you think of when we think of training children? You can go somewhere else other than Proverbs, but there's a lot in Proverbs. Well, people of the book, what verses would you go to?
Look at every beginning of almost every chapter, beginning of Proverbs. And there's something to the effect where the Proverbs writer says, hear the words of the Father. Listen, O son of my teacher. You know, again and again and again, he's telling them this is valuable. There's also some value in emulating what obedience to authority means. You know, there was a years ago there was a popular culture that kids live what they learn. Right? Mm-hmm. Kids learn criticism to a grocery critical, all that stuff. But how do you model, I mean, how do you show that authority is for everybody, not just for kids? You know, but authority is for dad. Dad needs to know that you have a role in the house and that he's obedient to God. Mom has a role, and she will be obedient to God. We just need to see what obedience looks like.
Yeah, they're very, very good at it. And so we do need to model obedience. We do need to model that there's a higher authority than us. And I think that's one of the things that we try to train our kids is I'm training you because God is going to call me to account about how I raised you. We need to show a chain of authority. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 6 in a little bit. But Zeke kind of went past that to us, but that's a beautiful verse about training children. What other, okay, and Zeke's right. There's a contrast in Proverbs. If you want to understand, I think, Proverbs, you understand there's a way of wisdom, and there's a way of lack of wisdom or foolishness, right? And that's the contrast in there. We want our children to be wise and not fools. To do that, we have to listen to instruction. The first chapter, verse 7 of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is a good verse, especially if you're raising teenagers. Because teenagers, like us all, don't like to be corrected, right? And when you tell your teenager and they go, I'm sure they would never do that because they're perfect. But if they did, this is a good verse. Fools despise instruction. Fools despise instruction. Fools despise being corrected. Fools despise being shown a better way. And you're getting upset right now because I'm correcting you, and that is a foolish thing to do. Do not be a fool. Okay? Does that make sense? It's a very important thing. The beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord, the respect of God, the respect of His commandments, the respect of His order in the world, the respect of your parents comes from that. And we need to use the words that the Bible uses. And that helps them become more familiar with the Bible, become familiar with the vocabulary of the Bible, but it also gives it this authority. Understanding the authority comes from God and His Word. So we need to do that. Where else would we go in Proverbs? What? Okay. Randy, read 10:13, please. Yes. Yes. If we have wisdom, good things happen. If we do not have wisdom, we need correction. That boy just lacks sense. I know my dad said that way too many times. But, yeah, we have to, that correction has to happen. Yes, Tim, which one did you have? So, I think, Zeke had a, if I put words in your mouth, you're here to defend yourself. But, this is the natural bent of the child. This is how they can serve God. This is how they are made. This is how we're going to train them in their understanding. And this is not an absolute that they're going to be faithful servants of God if we do everything we can, but it is that our training should consider the child, consider what their natural tendencies are, and to try to train them in understanding of God and His will. Did I say that okay? Oh, good. I didn't want him to take me out behind the woodshed later. So we have to look at the natural tendencies of the child. It's always funny. We were at a thing yesterday, and a lady that we were friends with, she has 4 kids now, and I said to them, like, they're all very different. She goes, yes, they are. Right? We don't treat our kids the same. We treat our kids fairly. They each need something different from us. Right? So we need to think about that when we're raising our children. Some kids, you have to, it's just constant battle of will. Some, they're less battle of will. Some are more easily trained, and some you have to mold very forcefully. It's just the way they are. And if you take a very strong approach to the very sensitive child, you can crush their spirit. If you do anything less than full on with some kids, they're like, you're not serious. You know? It's like talking with people about God. There are some people you're like, hey, maybe you should kind of think, and others are like, this is what God says. Otherwise, they don't hear you. So we need to think about how our children are made, and they're made differently. Yeah. What verse was that? Oh, I got the 14 and I got 16. Yes. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, and he who loves him is diligent to discipline it. Spare the rod, spoil the child is not found in the scripture. The concept is that that is actually not a verse. But this is what it's about. If you do not discipline your child, you are saying that you hate them. Okay? So this hands-off approach, they're going to figure it out. I'm going to kind of suggest some things that, you know, that'll... No. If you love your children, you will discipline them. You will discipline them with a goal in mind of obedience, of training their relationship to God, their relationship to you, their relationship to authority, so that they can be productive members of the Lord's body. That's what we want. And when we're productive members of the Lord's body, just think, if we train them to work for God, that'll help them secularly, right? It is amazing how hard it is to hire people today. You know? I'm going to embarrass Zach because it's fun. Zach's smart. He's got a degree. You know the reason I hired him? Because he works. He's off the floor without complaining with a degree. I'm like, all right. Come on, man, we can work with this, because that's what, you know, there are a lot of people who have educations and things, but if they're not going to work, I don't have, I got my own stuff to do. I need your help, not to go over there. Get off the internet, get off the internet, get off the internet, get off the internet. Stop doing Facebook, stop doing Facebook. Please come to work. I know you're only 30 minutes late, and that's better than yesterday, but please try to get here. I know it's 4 o'clock, but usually we go to 5. I know this is hard. Is it okay? I know. I'm sorry that you've had a rough day. No. We train our children to work for God, and that's going to come to also work heartily as unto the Lord, right? We need to do that. But that's an understanding of authority, right? And so we have to train it. Yes. I would say it is doing them a disservice. And the reason is that when a child is small, we can reason with them. We can tell them no. And we can make time out and everything else. But there's something very quick, very efficient of a swat, a hug, love them, let's not do that again. And it just takes so much less time. They understand it. You can't reason with a 2-year-old. Or at least I've never figured it out. Now, son, in the great cosmic world, what you did was an anathema to me and God. Please do not do that in the future. The 2-year-old's going, sure. It's what they understand. And it's not to be mean. It's to help them. And when we do that, it takes less time, and it makes it where we can be more positive with our children than following them around and going, no, 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 no. And it just, I do think it's part of the discipline realm. It's part of our training, but it is a part that is found in Scripture, and it is something that we should do. We should use everything in our power to help our children because we love them that much. And it is an effective tool in a lot of instances. And hopefully we'll phase out as they grow older. Right. And it is that punishment, I think, is all punishment, but I think it does include, spanking. It just does. You know, it's assumed in the Scripture. It's mentioned many times. But it included in this is all forms of discipline. You know, I think when your kid's 15, 16, hopefully, there are other things that are effective, you know, no phone, no internet, no this, no that, you know. I mean, you do other things too, which may be more effective, you know, than a spanking. But yeah, it is part of what we are given by God to train our children. And so we need to use everything we can to help our children be who they need to be. No, and that's crazy. I hear people, well, I couldn't, you know, I've heard it from Christians. I couldn't homeschool my kids. I don't like to be around them that much. And I'm like, that is the most horrible thing that you've probably ever said in your life, and I don't know how to even pretend that I am not greatly offended. That's what's going on in my head, and I'm sure my face is going. But yeah, I mean, that is a horrible thing to say. Right? So, Quentin, when he was about 9 months old, would fuss in services and we'd carry him out. And by the time he got to the back, he wasn't fussy anymore. You know? And so you're like, oh, so we left it. And we're going, then an older lady said, because they're very nervous when you talk about it, but they're like, what do you do when you go back to it? Well, he's not fussing anymore. And she's like, well, just give him a swat. He'll learn that he doesn't want to go back there. And you're like, that makes a lot of sense. And you know what? It didn't take very long. You know? And it's important that we do that training. God's way works. And that's it works in all things. And yes, it does hurt me more than it hurts you. And there was another instance of me trying to be someone who raised tiny kids. You know, my kids are still teenagers, but this kid would flop on the floor and scream and everything, and I'm like, this is crazy, I know. But if you take them and you give them a spanking, immediately every time that happens, it resets their brain. It really does. I don't understand why this works, but it really does. And I thought, and I said, now it might take a lot of time, and you know what they came back to me and said? They said, you know what? It worked immediately. And I was like, well, that's great. You know how long that lasted? About a month. They got tired, I guess. And now the kid was flopping on the floor, screaming, and every time they didn't get candy or whatever else they wanted. You have to be consistent. And it's real easy for us with older kids or when our kids are out. When you're in the thick of it, that's the reason we have a Christian family. Ask a million questions. Ask all these questions. Ask questions that are specific. When my child does this, how would you handle that? Get advice, get help, get encouragement, because it is so terrifying to think that we are entrusted with a soul and training that soul that God has entrusted us with. That's scary. If you're not scared by that, you don't understand what you've been entrusted with when we have children. It is very important. Yes, Trey. Immediate correction then. When they're little. Yeah, but I mean, even the sound, not even very, I don't even think there's pain, but that pop, it's a sound. It's not even, they don't even, they go, oh wait, this is for real. It's serious. You know? And so we need to really take this into consideration. Yes, Randy. Well, but that it's we think of these things, and what's so crazy is my parents were very, very strict. But I don't really remember the actual discipline. I remember it happening. It's not like rah. I remember, you know, being strict. I remember being shocked that I went to a kid's house. I was in the fifth grade. And he said, Mom, can we do this? And she said, no. And I'm walking out of the room. And he goes, Mom. And I'm like, oh, no. Do I get in trouble with him? I mean, what are the family rules? I don't want to get, you know, I was literally backing out of the kitchen thinking, oh, no. And he was, you know, a fifth grader. And finally, Mom goes, fine. And I'm like, that works. I mean, goodness, the kid, how did he not die? You know, my parents, if you ask once and the answer is no, you better be quiet. Sometimes I think, but you know what it did? We learned how to deal with authority. And it's important. But I do think as parents, young parents, we need to ask a lot of questions. With details. It's kind of hard to do the details in this class. But ask, when my child does this, how would you handle it? Ask a few people. If my child does this, how do you handle it? What do you say when you do this? There's all these things because it is an important job we're given. And when they become teenagers, talk to other people that have had teenagers and get that help and advice because it's hard. Raising children is hard and it makes us tired. And when we're tired, we just sometimes don't want to deal with the battle. At least that's me. That's what I struggle with more than anything is just, oh, do we have to? No, I don't want to. I'm tired. Had a bad day. I don't want to have to deal with discipline. Can we pretend that didn't happen? Just this once, right? And what do I sound like? A whiny teenager. we're all the same things, right? We all deal with the same things. Teenagers are just like us, just less years of experience. So we have the same thing. Yeah. And I think that's something that we don't say enough as Christians. We put on our Christian face, our Christian clothes, and we come up. How are you doing, Zane? I'm fine. How are you? And, you know, well, how is it, you know, we adopted Elizabeth. That was a really hard year. I mean, a hard year. Some other people adopted, and we love her dearly. She was worth it, but it was hard. But we talked to other people, and like, oh, yeah, Rachel was great. Oh, man, yeah. And then they asked me to teach a class on adopting children. And I talked about how hard it was. And the people who say, oh, it's easy, great, Robert. And then people came to me and go, I'm so glad you were honest about that. And I'm like, well, yeah, let's be more honest. Raising children is hard. It is tiring. It is terrifying. It is sad. It has great joy when the little two-year-old comes up and grabs her arms around you and gives you a big hug just because. That's awesome. It makes it all worth it. But still, it's hard. And we need to be honest with each other. If you're not a little terrified and a lot exhausted, you're not raising children right. You know? Someone else is doing the work. Or the work's not getting done. Yes, Shannon? Yeah. Well, my kids weren't that quick. And so, we joke, Zach's dad, Dale, a friend of ours, he had the paint stirrer in the back, in the foyer. For everybody's use, right? Yeah. And, it's part of what we do. Yeah, we're going to continue thinking about Proverbs that you would like for us to discuss. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 6, and then we're going to get to some of the more of the specifics about dealing with teenagers, because we love them very much. Thank you very much for your comments.